Alright, Kinelach, this is a very, very good story. Important story. A story you should remember the rest of your life. Shh. How many boys remember these stories because they're such good and important stories? These are Torah stories. A story is not just to have fun and listen and that's it. It's to remember and use, and you learn something for your life from the story. You can remember this story in 10 and 20 years. It's just as important as now, or even more important. Shh. Okay. The Baal Shem Tov is traveling. Together with the Baal Shem Tov is Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis. They're traveling together. All of a sudden, they come now, as they're traveling, to a house which is a very poor house, a falling down, broken house that obviously poor people live in that can't afford to make their house nice. And outside the house is a cow and a yard. And they go to the house, and the Baal Shem Tov knocks on the door. There's a mezuzah on the door, it's a Yiddish house. And the man comes to the door. Yes, can I help you? And the Baal Shem Tov says, I'm the Baal Shem Tov, and this is Reb Zev Wolf, and we are here to collect from you tzedakah. We would like you to make a donation of money for tzedakah. And the man said, I would be happy to give you something. I've heard of the Baal Shem Tov. It would be my greatest honor to give the Baal Shem Tov some tzedakah. Well, Kinelach, Reb Zev Wolf thinks to himself, this poor man probably could give a penny or two, and that would be okay, because whatever a person can give, that's what they give. But the Baal Shem Tov all of a sudden says to the poor man, not only I would like you to give tzedakah, but a certain amount, that's how much I'd like you to give. And the man says, okay, how much would you like me to give? And he says, I would like you to give 18 rubles. Now, 18 rubles for this man is like somebody asking you for $1,000. Now, can you imagine asking the poor man for $1,000? 18 rubles was a lot of money for that poor man. And Reb Zev Wolf, of course, is thinking to himself, oh, that's a lot of money to ask from such a poor man. But of course, Kinelach, can we figure out what tzaddikim do? In other words, do we understand what the Baal Shem Tov does or why he does it? Do we understand what Hashem does and why he does it? Can we figure out Hashem, or Hashem is higher than our mind? Can we figure out Hashem's plans and Hashem's thoughts? No. The same thing can allow tzaddikim are very close to Hashem. And what a tzaddik does is with Ruach HaKodesh, and you can't always understand it or figure it out. But just like whatever Hashem does is for the good, whatever tzaddikim do is also for the good. And the man says, I'll be glad to give 18 rubles, but you just have to wait here for a little while till I get it. And quickly the man ran. The man invited the Baal Shem Tov and Reb Zev Wolf into his house. Shh. They sat down on a few boards. There was no furniture in there, like chairs and couches and wing chairs and recliners and all that kind of thing that we have in our house. Baruch Hashem, we could have furniture in our house. He had a box over here, a box over there, a board across the boxes, and that was a bench. Then he had a bigger box on one side, and a bigger box on the other side, and a bigger piece of wood, and that was the table. And that was the furniture. And this man has to get 18 rubles. Well, he goes to his wife, and he says, do you know who's here? the Baal Shem Tov and one of his Hasidim, and they want 18 rubles. 18 rubles? How in the world are you going to get 18 rubles? Well, I could sell the cow, and we have some blankets to keep us warm at night, and for the kindalach. Okay, well, go sell the cow and take the blankets. Now, can you imagine the cow that they need for milk and the blankets they need to keep warm? This man, without a question, happily, is going now, and he takes the cow and the blankets and he goes to the marketplace. He goes to the marketplace and he calls out, "Who wants to buy a cow? Who wants to buy a cow? It's a good cow. I have to sell it now. Whoever would like to buy the cow, come now and buy the cow because I need to sell it right now." And a man says, "Okay, I'll give you 15 rubles for that cow." And he got 15 rubles. And he needs 18 rubles. Well, how many rubles does he need to get now? Can anybody tell me? Who knows? Raise your hand if you know. The man has 15 rubles and he needs 18 rubles. Now, how many rubles does he need?
18.
Well, if he has 18 rubles, then he's going to have 18 rubles. How many rubles does he need if he has 15 rubles and he needs now to get 18 rubles?
3.
Very good. 3. Okay, he takes one blanket. Who wants to buy a nice warm blanket? Okay, I'll buy it for a ruble. And now he's got 16 rubles. And he needs 18 rubles. How many rubles does he now need?
2.
2 more. Well, another blanket. Who wants to buy a blanket? Okay, I'll give you a ruble. Now he's got 17 rubles. How many does he need now?
1.
He needs 1 more ruble. Oh boy. And he sells another blanket. And now, he has 18 rubles. He goes back and he gives the Baal Shem Tov 18 rubles. Like I said, like giving $1,000. This is a poor, poor man. And he did it happily. Alright. This Yid sold his cow. He sold his blankets. He got the 18 rubles, he gave it to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said the Baal Shem Tov took the 18 rubles and said thank you and he left. And now the Yid is in his house with his wife, with his kinalach, and now they don't have their cow and they don't have their blankets and they were poor to begin with. Now they're even more poor, or poorer. Well, boys, things went from not so good to very not so good for this Yid. At least he thought it was not so good, or maybe we also think it's not so good. That's what the whole story is about. Sometimes you think a thing is not so good, and it gets even worse, and actually, it's just getting better all the time. That's what this whole story is about. A few days later, all of a sudden there's a big bang on the door. Uh-oh. I know who that is. The Yid got worried. What am I going to do? Today is rent day. I owe the poorest the rent. I tried to get the money together. That's his officer. There's another bang on the door. Let me in, the pirates needs his money right now. You must pay the pirates the rent money. Well, the Yid had tried as much as possible to get his rent money together, but he did not have the rent money. And the officer says, the pirates must have rent today. He must have money today. I don't have the money. Well, the poet says, you have to at least pay him 18 rubles today or you're going to be thrown out of your house. Ooh, 18 rubles. Oh, if I would still have my cow and my blankets, I could have got 18 rubles today, but I gave it to the Baal Shem Tov a few days ago, but stuck it. I have nothing to sell that will get me 18 rubles. Kinalach, things look pretty not good. Sometimes a person might say pretty bad, but we try to even say we try to say nice words like not good instead of bad. But things were pretty terrible. Oh, I have nothing to sell to get 18 rubles. And the poet sent all of his mean officers that throw people out of houses. And they went into the Yid's house. And they threw him out with his kids, with his wife, with all of his stuff into the street. And they locked up the house. They didn't let him back in. And the Yid and his family are in the street. And they have nowhere to go. And they have no money. Oh no, where will we even go? Where will we sleep tonight? Where will we put the kinderlach to sleep? The baby can't sleep outside, it's too cold. And we have no blankets even. Well, kinderlach, they started to walk. Well, they have to go somewhere, so they start going. Where do they go? They go in the forest. To go back in the town, other families were also poor. They had no place to stay with another family. They did not want to be a burden, and they didn't want other people to have to feed them and put them in their house. Other people hardly had enough food or place for themselves. No, we're going into the forest. And they go into the forest. And it's getting later and later. And it's getting darker and darker. And they have to spend the night in the forest together with the bears and the wolves, the coyotes, the bats, and the wild forest animals. Things look so terrible and hopeless. But does a Yid say things are terrible and hopeless? Or does he say, somehow, some way, Hashem will help? And not only that, a Yid says, Yerida Letzerech Aliyah. That means, if things go down, let's say you were going like this. Everything is good. And all of a sudden, things go down. Something not good happens. And it's not as good as before. A Yid says, the going down is because we're getting ready to go higher. It's not going to be like it was before, it's going to be even higher. But for Hashem's reasons, first you have to go down before you go higher. So it's called Yerida Letzorech Aliyah. You go down for the purpose of going higher. Kinalach, I'll tell you this story right now in the middle of the story, and I'll tell you again, Bli Neder, at the end of the story. There was once a Yid in the middle of the forest, just like this family is now, and he was hungry, and he was cold, and he started to cry, and he said, Hashem, this morning when I made the brachas, I said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, She'asa li kol tzarki. You know what that means? I thank Hashem that He gave me everything that I need. Not only He gave me, that He already prepared everything I need. Whatever I need, Hashem gives to me. Hashem, I need food. I need to be warm. And now, I'm in the middle of the forest without food, and I'm cold. How can I make the bracha that You gave me everything I need if I don't have my food and I don't have a nice warm place to be? And kinalach, you could ask the same question now. What's happening to this family? But the answer is, sometimes what you need is the food and to be warm, but it could be that right now that the family is in the middle of the forest, even though for a short time they don't have everything they need in food and clothes, maybe this is what they need. Maybe to be in the middle of the forest and to be hungry for a while and to be cold, they need that more than to have the food and to be warm, as you're going to see as the story goes. And he had said, all of a sudden he got happy. He said, wait a minute. Maybe Hashem wants me to be in the middle of the forest, cold and hungry. Maybe Hashem has a reason that this is what I need. The same way that I need food usually, and I need to be warm, right now, for whatever Hashem has planned for me, I have to be now hungry for a while and cold, because that's going to be even better and more what I need than if I had food and I was warm. Because sometimes we don't know exactly what we need. Maybe Hashem knows better what we need than we know what we need. And for a while, to go down is worth it if we're going to go higher. What's better? To stay always the same or to go even higher? Okay, what if you are told you have to go lower just for a little while in order to be higher? Would you do it? Okay, what if a person told you, you're in a nice warm room, and you had a delicious meal on the table, and a person outside in the cold. Would you want to go outside in the cold? No. But what if we said, if you go outside for 1 minute, over there is a diamond. And nobody owns it. And if you go out and get it right now, it'll be yours. But if you stay where you are, either somebody else will get it, or the wind is going to blow it off the mountain, and it's going to fall in the ocean. Now, would you want to go outside for just that minute, and be cold just for a minute, and you come back with a diamond? Because then you could buy thousands of delicious meals and have many, many nice warm days. So what's better, to be exactly where you are now or to go out and be cold just for a minute? What's going to be better? Who could tell me?
Go and just be cold for a minute.
Why? What's it worthwhile to be cold for a minute? You're in a nice warm room. Why should you go and be cold for just a minute? What do you get if you do that?
A diamond.
So it's worth it. So sometimes we're in the middle of nowhere and things are not so good and we say, why should I have to put up with this and do this? But if we know it's, let's say, like Aliyah, that things will get better and we're going to get a diamond out of it, so it's worthwhile. Because to be cold and hungry is just for a minute. Now Kinalaf, the family woke up in the morning, and Baruch Hashem, they got through the night, and the bears and the wolves and the wild forest animals, Baruch Hashem did not bother them. And there was a little river, so they could wash Negel Vaser, and they could have water for what they needed in the morning. And the Tati davened, and the Kinalach, and the mommy also was davening to Hashem to help. And they made their way through the forest until they got to the other side of the forest. On the other side of the big forest was another town. And they said, let's try to find a place to live in this town. We have to find a place for our family to live. We can't just stay in the forest. And they found somebody in the town and they said, are there any houses in this town that we could live in? But it can't be too expensive. We don't have too much money, only a few pennies. But the Tati said, but I'll work. I'll do whatever I have to do, but we can't afford to buy a really good house. Well, they said, look, there's a poet that owns this town. And he has an officer that's in charge of renting the houses. Why don't you go to him? And they went now to the officer who's in charge of the houses. And he said, look, on the very outside of the town, on the road that goes to the Poritz's castle, the very last house is a house that you could live in that nobody else wants to live in. Because it's such a falling down kind of a house. But since it's empty right now and nobody's living there, You could rent that place for a very cheap price. And you don't even have to pay right now. You'll get settled in the house and you'll find some kind of work and you'll be able to pay the money. And it wasn't too much money, and the man said, okay, thank you, we'll move into that house. They moved into this little falling apart kind of house, which was about the same as the little falling apart house they had on the other side of the big forest. So now they have a house again, Baruch Hashem. They were used to a little falling apart house, so it wasn't so bad to live in this house. And Tati went around looking for different jobs to do. And after a while, he saved a little bit of money, and they bought a cow. Hey, look, we have a cow. Just like we lived on the other side of the forest, we have a cow. And then after a while, they bought back some nicer blankets to be warm at night, rather than to have the thin little blankets that they kept. Look, we're back to where we were. Baruch Hashem, we have a cow, we have blankets and a little house. Kinalach, as we said, if you go through a Yerida and things get worse and go down, it's not just because you're going to get back the way you were before. It's Letzorech Aliyah. What does that mean? You're going to go even higher. Okay, let's see how this family got even higher than before. But today we have to stop here, the story, because all the other kids are coming in for lunch. And Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with a very interesting story. Kinalach, on the other side of the forest, the Yiddish family got a little house. Then they got a cow. Then they got back some blankets. And they're just like they were before. But, Kinalach, as we said, a Yerida is Letzorech Aliyah. If you go down from where you were before, lower, Hashem is doing that to make you even higher. So, the Yid is not just going to stay like he was on the other side of the forest. Something good is going to happen. What good could happen? He's still a poor man. He still has a dumpy, falling apart house and a cow and a few blankets. I mean, so what is he going to do now? Kinalach, Hashem has many ways to help a person. All kinds of ways that are usually unexpected. You can't figure it out. Things happen. And of course, nothing is an accident. Hashem is listening to our davening, looking at our mitzvahs and everything we do. This is what happened. Okay, we go now to the Poritz's castle. The Poritz of the town where the Yid is living now on the other side of the forest. And the Poritz is having his breakfast. He's sitting by the table and he's eating his breakfast, whatever he was having. And now, after the breakfast, he says to his servant, I'm thirsty! Bring me my favorite drink. What was the poet's favorite drink? He loves a glass of milk. Very, very nice. In the morning, the poet liked the glass of delicious milk, fresh milk, from his cow, or his many cows. Later on in the day, the poet liked other drinks, like vodka, and whiskey, and beer, and all kinds of strong schnapps and stuff. But in the morning, that was the time for his glass of milk. He loved his glass of milk, and every day, the servant went to get fresh milk. And if he didn't get his milk, he got in a bad mood. And he started getting upset. And this is the way the poet was. When he got what he wanted, he was so happy. If he didn't get what he wanted, watch out. And the poet is sitting there, still with his bib, waiting for his glass of milk, and the servant hadn't gotten it yet. Where's my glass of milk? I'm thirsty! Yeah, okay, I'll get the milk. And the servant runs out to the cows, and he milks the cow, and he gets fresh milk, and he brings it to the parents. Oh, here's my milk. And he drinks down the milk. He takes the glass and he drinks it down, and all of a sudden he makes a face. Oh! The parents makes a face. Oh! This milk is terrible. It tastes like pickle juice. This is terrible milk. I've never had such sour, yucky milk. What's wrong with the milk? Is it fresh? And the servant says, yes, it's fresh. I just got it from the cow right now. Something is wrong. What's wrong? Well, the poet goes out to look at the cows. And he takes a look at the cow, and then he takes a look at the next cow. The poet asks the servant, which cow did you milk for my milk? That one over there with the spots. And he goes over and looks at the cow, and the cow looks sick. Ah, the cow is sick. You couldn't tell the cow was sick? I didn't exactly go to look at the cow's face, you know. I went just to get milk. Well, you should have looked at the cow, and you see he's sick. And you got me milk for my sick cow. Get me milk from a different cow. Well, I'll look at his face first to see how he's feeling. And he goes to the next cow, and that cow also didn't look so good. Exactly what a healthy cow looks like, or a cow that's going to make pickle juice milk, I'm not exactly sure, but they could tell exactly if the cow looked healthy or not. Well, the poet looked at all of his cows, and there must be something going around, a cow flu, or a cow cold, or something like that. I don't know if they were sneezing or had boxes of tissues, but the cows were not very healthy that day. And the poet said, I don't want to drink any milk from any of these cows. These cows are sick. Call the cow doctor. But I need milk. I'm thirsty. And he says to the servant, go to the town and get milk for me. Find me a nice cow and go get milk from that cow, because I want milk. I'm going back to the dining room. I'm sitting back by the table, and I'm going to wait. And I want my milk fast. Well, the servant knew that he better get the poet what he wants fast, or else the poet is going to get in a bad mood, and he's going to probably take it out on him. So he runs to the town. Now, the first house on the outside of the town, as you're going there from the poet's castle, happens to be, of course, everything is Hashkaka practice, so it just doesn't happen to be, that's the way Hashem planned it to be, but it happens to be the poor, falling apart house of the Yid, right? And as the servant is running and huffing and puffing to go to the town to get milk, he sees a cow in the yard of the Yid. And he says, hey, there's a cow right here. Why do I have to run all the way to the town if here's a cow? And he looks at the cow in the face, and the cow looked pretty nice. A pretty good looking cow. Didn't look sick at all. Hey, this is a nice looking cow. I'm going to go to this house and buy milk from whoever owns this cow. And that way I don't have to run all the way to the town. And I'll be back to the parts before he gets in a bad mood and I'll have his milk. Well, he knocks on the door. The door almost falls off because it's a falling apart house. And the Yid comes to the door. Yes, can I help you? The poet is thirsty, he needs milk. The cows by the poet's castle are sick, and he needs milk. Can I buy milk from you, please, from your cow? It looks like a nice cow. And the youth says, sure, I would be happy to sell you milk for the poet. No problem. And they go to the cow. Shh. And the servant takes his bottle or his bucket or his glass, whatever he brought with him, and they milk the cow. And the servant pays the Yid some money for the milk, and the Yid was very happy to get some money for selling the milk, because he needs money for his family. And the servant runs back to the castle, and the poet is sitting still by the table in his bib, waiting for his milk. And the servant says, oh, that's good, you came back right away with my milk. I didn't have to wait too long. Now, let me have that milk. And the poet pours the milk into his glass. Of course, he washed it out. He probably had some other servant wash it out. He's not going to go wash his own dishes. and he's waiting with his nice clean glass, and he drinks now some of the milk, and all of a sudden, he gets a big smile on his face. Ooh, this is delicious milk. This is the best milk I ever had. This is better than any milk that I have any morning. This is better than the milk for my cows. This is delicious. Did you put something in this milk? Did you put, like, you know, sugar or flavoring? I mean, this tastes like a milkshake, and there's ice cream in here. This is wonderful. And he drinks some more. Oh, this milk is delicious. It's heavenly. I've never had a better glass of milk in my whole life. Where did you get this?